since September, we've been looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, specifically the relationships that the Apostle Paul had. The reason why we've been looking at him is not really so we can see Paul, but so that we can see Jesus. Paul wrote, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, as I follow Christ." And that's what our desire is, that we as a church, we want to be like Jesus was. The term Christian means a little Christ, a little model of Jesus. And that is our heart, that as individuals in this church, but also as a community in this church, that people would see the character, the life, the joy, the truth, the love of Jesus through us. So we've been looking at how did those relationships work in Paul's life, and hopefully seeing examples in our own lives, or seeing where we can find examples, or what type of examples to find so that we can become more like Jesus. So we started with Jesus. Paul's whole journey, his walk of faith, started with Jesus. On the road to Damascus, Jesus shows up to Paul in a vision. It's blinding light and knocks Paul off of his horse. And Jesus says, "I am Jesus." And Paul has this realization that everything he thought about faith and religion before that time, everything that he thought about who Jesus was actually wrong. And so now he realizes who Jesus is. And Jesus calls him into now this new life. This new life of faith and relationship with Jesus. So that's where it started, is Jesus makes himself known. And in our lives, to really walk this life of faith, we have to come into an encounter with Jesus. It starts with him. And he said that no one can come to the Father except by me. So if we don't really have that encounter with Jesus, where we come to a realization of who he is, that he does exist and that he is present, that he is available in our lives, then we won't really have these other steps. So we must start with Jesus. But after that, there are people. We are made to have people involved in our lives, to be a body, to be a family. And so Paul had an Ananias. This is an older gentleman who was strong in faith, that could come along and affirm that what was happening in his life, that this was real. I mean, Jesus has just shown up to him in a vision. You would think that Paul might start to wonder if he's crazy, and Ananias could say, "No, this is real. This is true." Often we need that in our own lives. We need someone who will remind us of the truth that's happened. Have you ever had a moment like that where you feel like God spoke really clearly to you, and then 1 week later, or maybe even just a few days later, you go, "Wait, was I just making this up?" And to have another person that can come along and affirm it and say, "No, that was God. That was real." Paul had someone like Barnabas. Barnabas was this man who, again, was someone who had been a Christian for a while, had been following Jesus, and he helped introduce Paul into family, into being a part of the church, not just being a part of this fellowship, but then also a part of ministry. And Barnabas helped Paul find a place where his gifts, where his talents were useful, were helpful, and helped Paul to see it's not just about you working alone, but he helps show him how to work alongside the Holy Spirit and how to work alongside other people as a team. And then there is someone named Silas. That this was a man that Paul said, "Okay, I've started to learn how to do this work. I'm going to go. Silas, will you go with me?" And Silas says, "I'll go with you. You may even have a crazy idea, but let's do it. Let's build a team and let's go do this work. I'm with you. I'm beside you." And we all need people who are beside us, who will fight alongside of us, who will cry alongside of us, who will work alongside of us as we live out this life. But Paul had more than just Silas. There was Aquila, Priscilla, and something like 20 other people that he said, "These are co-workers with me." And sometimes those were people who were able to go when Paul had to stay, and they could go where Paul couldn't go to do what Paul couldn't do. Or other times there were people who stayed when Paul had to leave and were able to continue the work in a city or an area, even when Paul had to go away. It was good for him to have these other co-workers. And Paul also had younger men that he could invest himself into. Two examples, one was John Mark and one was Timothy. And we need to have people like that as well, that there are ones that we're passing along what we've learned. Now with John Mark, this was someone that was working alongside Paul and then ran away. And that sometimes is the hardest thing to learn as we're becoming like Christ, is how do we let people walk away? How do we let people make bad decisions? Because we can't control them. We're not called to. And so he watched John Mark leave. But I believe he continued to pray for reconciliation, hope for it. And eventually, he was also able to show that Christ-likeness of allowing someone back, accepting someone back. And John Mark eventually did return. And Paul later would say, this is someone who's very helpful and very useful. He didn't just say, well, you lost your one chance. But the second chance that God gives to us, Paul learned to be able to show to this other young man, to John Mark. But then Timothy was a young man that seemed to be faithful the whole time that he worked with Paul. And it was someone who Paul knew Timothy from when he was young, and he could say, I've seen your life. I know this about you, and could call out some of those strengths in Timothy's life and say, continue to work hard. These are the gifts that you've been given. Work in those. But also someone who had seen his life so much that Paul could say to Timothy, you know me, you know my way of life, continue in it, you've seen the outcome of it, and follow that example. We need to have people like that in our lives, people that we show who we are, and we know them and have that kind of relationship that we can pass along that legacy to. Now, there is also a man named Luke. This was a doctor that worked with Paul, and very likely, very realistically, was someone that got to see Paul's physical wounds, got to see his scars. Paul was beaten, Paul was whipped, Paul was shipwrecked, Paul was stoned. He'd had all these things happen, and so if there's a doctor with him, you would just know that the doctor would see some of those physical struggles, those physical wounds that he had, but Luke also seemed to be there to see the spiritual struggles and the ups and downs, sometimes the heartache that Paul had for other people. And we need to have those that can see our weaknesses and that can see our wounds and will be there with us and will help to put salve on those wounds, so to speak. But Luke also played another role of writing down that legacy. See, so much of what we have about Paul's life is in the book of Acts, which Luke wrote. Luke was alongside him and saw it and then said, this is an example that we need to pass on. I want to pass on this legacy to other people. And then there was a woman like Lydia and several others, like Peter or Philemon, that these ones that just showed hospitality to Paul, that as he was traveling around, they let him stay in their home. And for us, we need to have people who will be spiritual help to us, people that can pray alongside of us, people that will go out and do this work, that will use their spiritual gifts alongside of us. But sometimes we also just need practical help, financial help. Maybe that's letting someone stay in your home or providing a meal or helping pay a bill that they need. But those are people that were in Paul's life, and we need to have people like that in our life, that we need to accept spiritual help, we need to accept this very practical help as well. And then a few weeks ago, Becky spoke about someone who's not a human being, but is a real person, the Holy Spirit. We see how Paul had the Holy Spirit working alongside of him, working in his life so often, empowering him, giving him strength, giving him gifts, giving him the fruit of the Spirit, which are these characteristics, love, joy, peace, patience, this character of who God is. And the Holy Spirit was at work in his life, and we need that as well. That helps us to become more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is there to help develop us to be more like Jesus. On the flip side, it's not always just good spirit, but then last week, we looked really quickly at a place where Paul writes and says that there was given to him this thorn, this messenger of Satan that tormented him, and as he's praying, God, take this away, this thing in my life, get rid of it. God said, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. can show the strength of Jesus. He specifically talks about that, that it shows the power of Christ in us in our weakness. So even the difficulties and struggles, even the things that we would not want, if we'll allow it, God can use those to even make us show the life of Jesus even more. So after all of these things, where do we end? And it seems fitting that we'll end with this. The last discipling relationship that we're really going to focus on for a while is Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't solely show up to Paul one time on the road to Damascus. Jesus is seen several times interacting with, talking to Paul. And I hope in our lives that we notice that as well. It's not just you have this conversion experience where you realize who Jesus is and you start praying, but we see that Jesus should be involved in our life as we continue on. And when we see the role that Jesus plays, what he says in Paul's life throughout the book of Acts is almost invariably one thing. Go and tell other people what you've seen, what you've learned. So let's go back to the start of it. When Paul first meets Jesus on this road and Jesus shows up and says, I am Jesus, he tells Paul, get up and go into the city. Go into Damascus and you'll learn more there about what you're supposed to do. Now, when Paul, two times later in the book of Acts, tells his own story of this, and says, oh, when I met Jesus, this is what happened. And we have these speeches recorded of him. Both times he pulls that out, that Jesus says, get up, go into the city, go. Get up, I will send you. Now, he also in one of those speeches says, now a few years later, he's in Jerusalem. And when he's in Jerusalem, he's in the temple and he has this vision and Jesus says to him, you can't stay here. You've got to move. You've got to go. I will send you far away. I'm going to send you out to the nations. Later, when Paul is traveling around with Barnabas, they're on this mission trip. They're going and telling people about Jesus, the truth of Jesus, and what that's done in their lives. Then we're told that Paul and Barnabas, as they're talking to people, say, the Lord commanded us that we had to go and share this news. The Lord commanded us. We had to tell this. The Lord is Jesus, who has given them that command once again. And then later, Paul has continued traveling, and then he ends up in prison, and the Lord shows up to him, and Jesus says, Paul, don't be afraid. As you have spoken about me, as you've testified about me in Jerusalem, so you're going to have to tell about me in Rome. Now, he doesn't use the word go there, but Paul is in Jerusalem. Paul will be in Rome. There's a going that happens in the middle. Paul is going to go, and he has to tell. So it seems quite fitting that in the last chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 28, Luke says, Paul made this final statement, and he starts with this quote. He says, the Holy Spirit spoke, and uses a quote from the Old Testament that says, go and say to these people. And as he goes through that, he later tells them that salvation has been sent to all people. See, the reason why we go isn't because we're the first ones to go. It's first off because Jesus has gone. He has been sent. The Father sent Jesus, and Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I'm going to send you. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, the image of God, the Word of God, was with God in heaven. He gets sent down to earth to live out on this earth in front of us what the character of God is, who lives out the truth of God, who gives us the wisdom of God. Then he dies, and then he raises from the dead. And he says, as I have gone, as I have told you, as I have shown you, as I have lived this life in front of you, so you go as well. And salvation has been sent so it can reach all people. God didn't stay far away, but he made himself very close and very near. And we're called to do the same thing, to go be very close and be very near to people so they can see and hear this message of who Jesus is. And that's pretty much how the book of Acts ends, which is very similar to the way the book of Acts began. But two quick outliers that I want to show from Paul's life. There are two times where we see Jesus speaking or having said something where he doesn't say specifically this idea of go, but look at them quickly. For one, Paul is speaking to Ephesian elders. And he's saying, look, this is the last time you all are going to see me. I know that the Holy Spirit is sending me along. I'm going to Jerusalem. And then beyond that, there'll be other things that happen. And Paul says to them, remember what the Lord said. It's better to give than to receive. We don't have those words recorded of Jesus in any of the four Gospels. So we don't know, did Paul hear that from someone else? Or in these times, did Jesus speak this directly to him? Because Paul said, the good news that I'm sharing, the gospel that I have, I didn't learn it from any person. In Galatians 1, he says, the Lord taught me this. Jesus taught me what this good news is. He had an ongoing relationship with Jesus, where Jesus is revealing things and telling him stuff. It seems like maybe this was one of them. It's better to give than to receive, which isn't so very far from it. It's better to go than to receive. It's better to give yourself. It's better to go out. It's better to give this truth. It's better to speak the truth to others. It's better to go than just to be the one who sits and receives. That can be the danger of what I call the cult of Sunday morning, where people just come to church and they come sit on their Sunday morning and they receive and they receive. But we're called to give out. We're called to go. The other time is this. Paul has been traveling around and he's in the city of Corinth and Jesus shows up to him and says, Paul, don't be afraid. Go speak about me. Talk about me. Share about me in this city. You don't have to run off. I have many people here. You'll be safe for a while, but tell about people in the city. That's the one time where it almost seems like Jesus is saying, stay put instead of go. But the way that Paul has got there is because he has been going, because he has been faithful in missions. But then Jesus says, stay here, but tell. See, that's the thing. If you go, but you don't tell, then what did you go for in the first place? We have a message to send. It's not just to show up, but we are supposed to speak. And for you, maybe you're a student, maybe you're a worker here, but if all you did was come so you could receive and you don't give, if you go, but you don't tell, if you don't talk to those people around you and share about this life that God has given, why did you go in the first place? As we go, there will be times where we have stopping points, but then make sure that you continue to use that opportunity to tell. That's what Jesus has called us to throughout. If you go back to the very beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, yes, wait in the city, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. It's so important that we have the Holy Spirit being the strength working through us because he's the one who empowers us. He's the one who makes us capable. He's the one who gives us all that God has for us so that we can actually go out and do this job. He says, wait for the Holy Spirit, but then you will be my witnesses. You will go tell, and you will do it in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the very ends of the world. You will go, and you will tell. And when you look through the rest of the book of Acts, this has kind of floored me as I continued to look at it. Anytime that you see God speaking, whether it's Jesus speaking, whether it's the Holy Spirit speaking, whether it's the angel of the Lord speaking, or the angel of God speaking, anytime there's a message, a divine message coming from heaven, it will almost invariably be saying, go, go, go. Jesus in chapter 1 says, receive the Holy Spirit and then go, be my witnesses. A little later, an angel shows up to the disciples in prison and says, go out into the temple courts and speak about me. And then he tells them later, when Paul goes into the city of Damascus, this man Ananias that I mentioned before. Jesus shows up to Ananias and tells him, go to the specific street, the specific house. That's where you're going to find Paul. Go, because he's waiting for you. And Ananias says, I don't know if that's really a good idea. I'm not sure. He gets in this little disagreement. And Jesus says again, go. That's your mission. We see that when the angel of the Lord speaks to Philip and tells him, go south to this specific road. So he goes. And then as he's going, the Holy Spirit shows up and says, Philip, go to this chariot. And he does that. It's continuously, go, go. And as he's standing next to the chariot, he's able to then start telling the truth about Jesus to this official that's been traveling. The angel shows up to Cornelius and tells him, send men out to go find Peter. So it's not Cornelius that goes, but he says, hey, send people, they've got to go. And they're traveling. And then Peter has this vision, sees some things, and then he's told, go downstairs. The Holy Spirit tells him, there will be men there. Don't be afraid to go with them and go to Cornelius. Later, Paul and Barnabas were in the city of Antioch, and they had been ministers, part of this ministry team there. And then while they're praying and fasting, the Spirit tells these leaders in Antioch, set apart the men for the job that I have for them. Set apart Barnabas and Paul. Set apart. They're going to be sent ones. They will go. That mission is then the start of Paul's first missionary journey, as we often call it, as he goes around. You see it. So, honestly, today, if God is going to say something to you, if I just had to guess, it's going to be he's going to tell you, go. In one way or another. Now, if God shows up to you and tells you something different, come back, blame me for it if you want to. But that's part of his heart, is that we are sent people. That should be part of our identity. That was part of Paul's identity. If you read through the letters that he sent to these churches, here's how he starts it almost every time. I'm Paul. I am an apostle. I am one person sent by Jesus, by the will of God. I am sent by Christ. That was his understanding of his relationship with Jesus, is, hi, I'm Paul. I'm the guy that he's sending. What do you and Jesus talk about? Well, he sends me. That's part of his identity as he goes. So how do we understand that today? Well, for many of us, that means, honestly, we should be going. We should be going people. And yes, we live in this city and in this church, being an international church, we have people who are going in and going out all of the time, who are traveling for one reason or another. But know that while you travel, it's not for yourself. But see it as being sent by Jesus to wherever you're going so that you can go and tell. But yes, honestly, it is sometimes just very simple. There's those little goes, the little going, that's just as important as being willing to cross the ocean, is crossing the room and talking to your neighbor, talking to your coworker that's sitting in the same office, or going up to your teachers, or going up to other students. If we'd listen, I believe that God would be saying go to us much more often. As a church, last June, I put out this challenge, or I felt like this is something God would challenge us toward, was that over the next 3 years, to send 70 people at least. And honestly, I would like to send more than that. I would like to have everyone in our church at some point go on some sort of cross-cultural mission trip, whether that's for a few days, maybe one day, whether that's a few weeks, or we've had people that we've sent out that are now spending a year or even longer in locations. I'd like to see everyone do it, but I said, okay, let's at least make a recognizable goal, say 70 people. And now it's been more than half of a year. We haven't hit quite 20 people. Coming up this next week, we're going to be sending out a group to Sweden, and that's going to be about 17, 18 people that will be newly on that list. And these are 70 individuals. I don't just want to send the same people all the time, because I believe this is for all of us. God calls each of us to go in some way, someplace. So as you go, or even before you go, may you be full of the Holy Spirit. May you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. How much he has given. May you understand the love of God, this Father who calls people, who invites them into his family. That's such a big part of this. When we're told to go and tell, what is it we're supposed to be telling? We're supposed to be talking about the kingdom of God. We see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, that so often this comes up over and over again, that they're preaching the kingdom of God, preaching the kingdom of heaven. Well, Jesus said in one of his parables, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a king who's going to have this big feast, this big banquet. He's throwing a party, and so he invites people to it. He sends out his servants so that they can invite people, and they come back, and some of them have said, no, I can't come for this reason or that reason. So he says, well, if they're not going to come, go find more people. Go out. And he keeps sending people out because he wants them to come to his party. Today, when we think of kings and kingdoms, we probably think more medieval ages, and there's fighting, there's war, and there's killing, and there's all these other things that happened with it. Jesus' idea of the kind of king that God was he was the kind of king that wanted as many people as possible to come to the party, who was inviting people in and sending out his servants, what, to go and tell about this party. That's what we should be doing. Sometimes we make it sound like it's so hard or so difficult. Like, oh, if I talk to people about Jesus, what are they going to think? If I tell them about my faith, this is a horrible thing. You're inviting people to a party. You're not inviting them to something that's horrible and gloomy and sad. You're inviting them to this king who has provided and prepared for a huge crowd of people from all nations. Because he loves them, because he cares about them, because he wants to share his joy. So may you be full of joy. May you go, and may you tell of this God of joy. May you invite other people into this kingdom, into this party, knowing that his Holy Spirit will be your strength, your guide, will empower you to do it.